Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
First blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Pius.
We're getting a 13-yard gain here on fourth down, and right now not looking good. Trubisky's going to run it, and he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
Bentley play action, so Jake Bentley chased. The Chef Smith,
Roquan Smith, he's the highlight show of this defense.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. McClaire, he's got Payne, one, two. He got it, he got it. Steamboat flying up. McClaire has done it. McClaire has done it.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up and welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood, on Snapchat, snapjhood. Reminding you that tomorrow we'll have our 20th anniversary of ESPN 1000 taking place tomorrow at Austin's in Libertyville, starting at 5 a.m. with Golic and Wingo. And all throughout the day, all the shows will be there. I do not have a show tomorrow night because of Major League Baseball, but I will show up. I will stop by Austin's in Libertyville. So I will, I don't know if I'll get mic time, Davis. I don't know if they'll allow me to be on the air even though I don't have a show.
We have to get a slot. Have to.
I don't have, they won't give me a talk show slot because, again, the night show will be off, but I'll stop in there, say hello, shake some hands. So, but it starts at 5 a.m. with Golic and Wingo.
With your buddy Carm?
So we start at 5 a.m. with Golic and Wingo right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you're with us here. If you are just joining us, did you hear the news? Chili Davis, the hitting coach for the Chicago Cubs, has been let go, according to Jesse Rogers from ESPN.com. He was on with us in our last hour. You can go back in the archives of our podcast. Look for hour two, and you can hear our conversation with Jesse Rogers on ESPN 1000. We get a chance to talk, and Jesse pretty much just laid out that, remember, the Cubs, they decided to part with John Mailey, the former hitting coach, to hire Chili Davis. At the time it was a curious move, because if the Cubs had some struggles, doesn't necessarily mean that you got to change the hitting coach as soon as you have struggles. But I know one thing about Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, more so than any time in Cubs history, more so than Sam Zell, more so than the Tribune Company, more so than the Wrigley Company, more so than Dallas Green presiding over the Cubs in his era, is that as soon as something is obvious to you about a Cubs need, the Cubs address it. And that is everything except maybe your questions about Joe Maddon as a manager. But as far as a need, an arm offensively, an arm or an offense that they need, the Cubs address it because they see what you see. And many of you were down on Chili Davis and blamed him for a professional team that could not hit when they needed to hit. The numbers speak for themselves. 40 times they had one or no runs scored, and that really was a downfall. And as I mentioned, the night that the Cubs got eliminated, and I did that post-game show, I said it's so very difficult to explain to someone that hasn't watched Cubs baseball all season long to say, how do you win 90-plus games and not get a chance to advance to the playoffs? Well, it's because of numbers like that. That's where numbers do count. That's when you look at numbers and say, man, this team can't score when they need to score. Well, how's that? I mean, don't they have Chris Bryant? And don't they have Rizzo? And don't they have Schwarber? And don't they have Javi Baez? And don't they have this guy and that guy? And don't they have Wilson Contreras and that this deep bench? And don't they have the pitching that's good enough? It's just all of those things, yes, they do have all those things. And all those things didn't work when it counted. A chance to win the division, Milwaukee turned them aside. Colorado, who couldn't score, as you saw in the playoffs, was able to score just enough to get past the Cubs. You could see the pressure from the Cubs. Maybe you, the Cub fan, that's been laissez-faire all season long. Just, I'll call about the Cubs if I care about it, or the Cubs won the World Series, so I'm fine. You guys, some of you did not call. You did, were so just cavalier and laid back about this Cubs situation, where I clearly saw in May and June that this was not going to be a World Series team. I said, if you're a longtime baseball fan, you could see it, right? It's like, not enough magic there. No magic. When the year that they won the World Series, that in May, in like May, right a little bit after Memorial Day, I said, you know what? That team's going to win the World Series. No way they're going to win the World Series. Oh, yeah. You can see the magic. There's magic there. Run scoring out of nowhere. You get these unsung heroes every day. That's when you know a team is special. Unsung heroes everywhere coming off the bench and the line, you know. And you just didn't see it. It's too much drama for this Cubs team to be able to be as good as some of the better teams, including Milwaukee, in the playoffs. So there you go. So that's our news. And again, going back to what Theo Epstein said as the Cubs were eliminated, Theo made it very clear the offense was broken.
So in the second half, we had 50 games in which we scored two or more runs, and our record in those games when we got to two or more was 37-13. 37-13 when you get to two or more runs. So it was just, you know, the indicators in the second half were not where we want to be. We were among the worst in the league at hitting the ball out of the ballpark. You know, our power was way down. Our walk rate was dramatically down. Our OPS was down. Our runs scored were down. We hit more ground balls in the second half than any other team by a huge margin. And, you know, our goal is to hit line drives and fly balls out of the ballpark. But hit line drives, and we hit, I think it was 49.5 or so ground ball rate, and the next closest team was at 47%. You know, so we were just, something happened in our offense in the second half where we stopped walking, we stopped hitting home runs, we stopped hitting the ball in the air, and we stopped being productive. And, you know, scoring, you know, not being able to get to two runs, you know, that, you know, that many times in the second half is really unacceptable. And, you know, it really, it sort of tells the story a little bit of the end of our season, too. We had those three games, Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday, where, look, if we win one of those games, we're still playing. And in each of those games, we scored one run with a handful of hits.
So the thoughts there from Theo Epstein as he talks about this Cubs team not getting the job done offensively. Glad that you're with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, as we always do. Every Thursday. No, Davis. I'm glad that you're not playing Family Feud, because he would have lost. As we always do every Thursday, we always hook you up with that good old TBT. We always tell you about things from the past that you guys love. Every Thursday, 9 o'clock hour, we hook you up with Throwback Thursday.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Before Snapchat.
What is that?
Before Twitter.
So what's the sitch?
There was.
You left.
Yeah. That's so throwback.
That was really good times.
That's so throwback.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Throwback Thursday memories.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Put your hands up.
The throwback.
All you need is love.
The throwback. Taking it back.
Go back.
The throwback.
The throwback. Throwback.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Let's go back.
It's Throwback Thursday. Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Yes, every Thursday we're hooking you up with Throwback Thursday memories from your past. We make you go back to your past. Don Hasbrook, hello. We go back. You go back to your past, and and we talk about things that you love. And our Throwback Thursday question of the day is this: what was your first CD, record, or cassette that you purchased, and where? Best answers on the show tonight. Call now. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776, our phone number. If you remember your first musical cassette, your first album, your first CD that you bought, what was it and where was it? That's Throwback Thursday. Very simple. Right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Throwback Thursday, right here on ESPN 1000.
The Throwback.
So, I remember my first cassette. My first cassette was 1984 Purple Rain, because I'm such a Prince fan. For sure, Purple Rain, Metro Music on 87th and Dante. Metro Music. And I know Metro Music's not there now. But I remember at the time, off the chain. Absolutely. So, I love Prince, and I told the story not too long ago that I went to go see, went to Prince's recording studio in suburban Minneapolis. Man, what an experience there to be able to see that. And I remember 10 minutes into the tour, it was like almost a 2-hour tour, because that place is so big. It's like two Home Depots in one, just put it that way. That's how big his recording studio was, because he lived in his recording studio. And 10 minutes into the tour, the guide says, if you turn and you look up, you will see a light. And it was the symbol, when Prince was just a symbol and not known as Prince. And up there, there's illuminated light, and there is the ashes of Prince. We'll give you a few minutes to pay respects. It just came out of nowhere. It wasn't like a guide where you kind of knew that was going to happen. He just said, up there, that's his ashes. We'll give you a few minutes. And like three women cried. They needed a tissue. Wow. Just crazy. Did not expect that at all. All right. Let me go through some of your choices here for Throwback Thursday here on ESPN 1000 ESPN app. There's so many on this Facebook wall and some on Twitter as well. Twitter.com, tweet Jay Hood. Davis, before I go there, tell me, what is your first either CD, first record, or first cassette?
Definitely was New Edition, the album.
Yeah.
1985. Purchased it. I just got my Walkman as a gift for my birthday. Mm-hmm. And I bought that, and I bought it in conjunction with Purple Rain.
Oh.
So those are my first two purchases.
Where
was cassette tapes.
Where?
Venture. Yes. Venture. River Oaks.
I remember Venture well.
Get the feel of it.
Do you feel of it?
Venture. Absolutely. So let me go to your choices. Your first CD, your first record, your first cassette. Don leads us off and says his first album was Metallica's Black Album. Yes. A little Metallica for you there, a little Enter Sandman. His first album was Enter Sandman. Good stuff by Don. So many other ones up here, too. Davis, of course, Lee Davis, JR Davis says Ghostface Killer, Iron Man at Sam Goody at the Brickyard Mall. So that,
nothing clean off that album, so couldn't grab it.
I understand that. Love the Sam Goody stuff there. Keith Jorgensen says on the wrap tip, you bought that at Coconuts in River Oaks. I also a Coconuts guy in Hyde Park at the time.
Coconuts in River Oaks, that was before it was transformed into the inside version, I believe.
That is correct.
That's right.
That's correct. I was, but I would get on the 28 Stony Island and then just walk over to Coconuts. Always had a nice selection there. They also had some nice albums.
The CDs or?
No, women.
The employees.
So you're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, by Throwback Mark's Thursday, finest. Right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Yes, I noticed Don Hasbrook there from Fox.
Yeah.
Getting the job done there for halftime of the Thursday night game. All right. Okay. There's some, okay, how about this one? So someone said that their first album was Michael Jackson and Bad. I see Desmond Clark just checked in on Twitter. You see that?
Yes.
And he said the Thriller album, right? From Michael Jackson.
That was his first?
I think that's what it says here. I just saw that coming across here. He says it was Thriller in 1983 for Christmas. Former Bears tight end Des Clark weighing in. People love the Michael Jackson. And I believe Off the Wall was my first album. I can't remember where I got that from. It's got to be River Oaks, more than likely. High end. Probably had to go to River Oaks to get that. Oh, my goodness. Sounds as good as it did at the time, does it not?
You were on that RTA a lot, huh?
Don't worry about where I was. As you're listening to Throwback Thursday here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. So Pearl Jam, Joey says Pearl Jam. When he was 80, when he got his first Walkman in 1983, Pearl Jam was the first album that he got. Roberto Soto, you know what he says? He says his first album, can you believe this? Went to Sam Goody's in Yorktown Mall to get Eddie Murphy. Girl, I can't understand it. Why you gonna hurt me? After all of the things I've done for you, I buy you champagne and roses, put diamonds on your finger. I mean, come on, Eddie. Just have a little sense of humor. You think he can get up that level again? Just sing it again. Just bring
it. It's so funny because when you're a kid, you hear that song and you're thinking it's like him enjoying his girlfriend because she likes to party.
Yes.
And when you come to listen to the lyrics as you get older, it's like, oh, she's leaving you to go party all the time.
It's a bad thing.
Yeah, right. It's not a good thing.
But honest to goodness, at the time, just think about it, at the time, Eddie Murphy. Top level, Saturday Night Live.
Oh yeah,
Raw, everything. And he comes out with the album. Do you think it's a joke album, like a Weird Al, or are you taking him seriously with that? Are you taking him seriously?
I think a lot of people took him seriously and thought he was trying to start a music career. It's kind of like Lil Duval right now.
Yes,
literally having like one of the top songs, and you know he's just acting a fool.
I think at the time you was like, wait. Why would you want to hurt me? The people thought it was like serious, like a Jamie Foxx now. Like Jamie Foxx could roll out an album and be good with it.
I think Jamie Foxx probably has a little bit more street cred than Eddie Murphy did on the musical tip. But yeah,
you understand the point, though.
Yeah, I do.
Comedian that can switch over and be able to sing also.
But I think that works. I think that works. I think you could say if you have that platform as a comedian, you can pretty much do whatever you want.
All right, Davis. John and Crown Point on ESPN 1000. Hi, John.
Hey.
Do you remember your first cassette or CD or album?
When I was in first grade, I had my mom go get me Marshall Mathers LP and Cisco, I believe it was called The Year of the Dragon, the one with the donk song.
I'm sure she didn't know anything about Marshall Mathers, but you knew about Marshall Mathers. Yeah. You knew about him, did you not?
Yeah.
What about her? Did she know?
No, she had no idea.
Heard it? Did she hear it?
Yeah, she heard it once I got home. But I got that CD and I've been into rap ever since. I'm 27.
I'm glad you checked in, John. Appreciate your phone call. Good stuff. So much Michael Jackson here. Ken Cirillo, Michael Jackson. Joe Fish says coconuts at Evergreen Plaza. He got EPMD, Business as Usual. Also got Tribe Called Quest, The Low End Theory. Beat Street, the 12-inch from Miles Franklin. He says that Melly Mel and Grandmaster Flash purchased at Discount Records in Matson. Do you recall a Discount Records in Matson?
No, I don't.
If it's Melly Mel and Grandmaster Flash, it had to be before our time.
There's one record store that has not shown up, and I'm shocked.
I gave you Metro Music, man. I gave you that for
I did not see George's Music Room.
I think it's buried in here because it's about 100 people responding, and it's growing, by the way.
Someone had to say they got their first album from George's Music Room.
Metallica's Master of Puppets says Ruben brought at Rose Records downtown. And there is someone said their first album was TLC, Ain't Too Proud to Beg. Here it is right here. That was from Sharla Harris. She says that Too Proud to Beg was her first CD that she bought from Ventures. Back to Ventures again. Here it is right here. Sherrod Gordon says his first cassette was NWA at George's Music Room on the West Side. It's buried down in here, but it's a ton. Someone says that their first one was Ain't None But a G Thing by Dr. Dre. This is the clean, isn't it? Okay. Check it. Ah, smart. Evan Thomas says that that was his first one. Pretty good. Someone says that LL Cool J Bad was their first album. Man, you can't tell me about LL Cool J when I was a kid.
That dude was the truth.
I would fight you about LL Cool J. You better not say anything bad about LL.
He had bros on the corner singing, I Need Love.
Yes.
And that's how cold he was.
You better not say anything bad about LL Cool J when I was a kid. I would fight you. That dude, men wanted to be him, women wanted to be with him.
Absolutely.
That's it. So I'm gonna zip through these. You tell me if I'm missing one that's on our page here. Ed Bloom says Tony Braxton's Secrets from Best Buy, 1997. Ed Bloom's that was his first album. We mentioned Tim Chai Newsom said Purple Rain. We got that. JB Lyle says his first record was Prince. His first cassette was Wham, Make It Big. And LL Cool J Bad, because we just heard that from JB Lyle, says that was his first. Let me see. Brian Wheeler says Kenny Rogers' 10 Greatest Hits was his first album at D. Coven Stores. No, I don't. And stop interrupting me, Siri. She's doing this every show now.
She's jealous. She wants her own segment.
If I said Siri.
Siri under the hood.
Yeah, then no one's asking. Siri wants her own show. It happens every show now. I'm going to turn my phone off. Mark Wallach says, Bee Gees, greatest hits. I also brought my first 8-track for the car, Partridge Family. Yvonne Wilson says, Sequence, Funk You, F-U-N-K, Funk You Right Up, from 1986. She was 16 years old. From Sequence. Snoop Dogg, right? Whose first album was Snoop Dogg? Johnny D. How often did you go to Sam Goody for music, Davis?
Not often.
Sam Goody, though, that was a spot.
Goody. Goody got it. Sam Goody got it. Sam Goody got it.
We've got it. Summer savings at Sam Goody. Pick up Theater of Pain from Motley Crue, Invasion of Your Privacy, new from Rat, and Shaken and Stirred by Robert Plant. On sale now, only $6.99 each. Store-wide summer savings at Sam Goody.
Goody, Sam Goody got it. Goody. Sam Goody got it.
I got it. Thank you very much. 1980s. Restaurant quality. Paul Butterfield Blues Band, East West, Stan Zoller. That was his first cassette. A lot of AC/DC, because we played that earlier. So especially with Thunderstruck. A lot of people, their first album was this. Chicago. And, of course, you could not, Davis. If you're looking to be able to buy yourself a whole bunch of cassettes at one time, it's one thing to go to the store and cherry-pick this, cherry-pick that. But if you're looking to try to get a whole bunch.
Oh, man, this was better than that credit card you got in college. When you saw this come in the mail? Oh, yeah.
You really want to get a whole bunch of cassettes at one time? You definitely had to be a member of Columbia House.
Ready for a smile on your face.
It's just the right time and just the right place. The music you love, movies you share, the things that make you care.
Keeping value high will serve you so. Our relationship will grow and grow.
Columbia House, big enough to bring you all the best in entertainment.
Look for special Columbia House offers this month in selected magazines, newspapers, and your mail.
Columbia House, big enough to entertain America. One person at a time. Columbia, one person at a time.
The throwback.
Let's
the throwback.
Throwback Thursday, right here on ESPN 1000 and ESPN Now. Keep them coming on the Facebook wall, Facebook.com or Twitter.com. Tweet Jay Hood. A lot of memories, a lot of people going to, again, no online, going into stores, brick and mortar stores to get themselves their favorite music. All right, coming up, we talk a little bit about the NBA and what we can expect for this upcoming season, especially from a point spread standpoint. That's coming up next on Under the Hood. I think I played it earlier for that one.
You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood, as well as on the Facebook wall, facebook.com. Can I tell you about Illinois Media School? Illinois Media School, write down this number. 630-916-1700. Or put this in your phone. 630-916-1700. That is a very key phone number for you, especially if you're trying to do something different in your career. If you don't like the job that you're in right now, what about doing something different? Why don't you do what I do as a broadcaster, or as a producer, or as a creator? Think about this. Illinois Media School. You got 20 internet stations across the country, and they're looking for talent. If you think you have the talent to work on the radio, this is your shot. Call Illinois Media School now and schedule an audition for their casting call. 630-916-1700. 630-916-1700. Illinois Media School is also looking for careers for behind the scenes, like producers and directors, board operators, and much more. Call Illinois Media School right now. It's an opportunity of a lifetime. 630-916-1700. It is 630-916-1700. That's the number. Again, no experience is needed. All you need is passion to work in this industry. We offer training in as little as 8 months and financial aid for those who qualify. Call Illinois Media School right now, 630-916-1700. Again, think about this. I mean, Illinois Media School, an open casting call right now to be an on-air DJ for one of their internet radio stations. And they've got 20 internet stations across the country looking for talent. That could be you. But just call and find out. At least have a tour of the campus in Lombard. Find out if it's something that matches what you want to do. 630-916-1700. Glad you're with us. I'd like to remind you of the Under the Hood podcast. Wherever you download podcasts, look for my name. Just type in Jonathan Hood into your device or Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, and you will be able to be connected. So hit that subscribe button, whether it's iTunes, whether it's SoundCloud, whether it is the TuneIn app. Look for these shows. The Under the Hood podcast, Value Bet, which is a segment we do for gambling, and also the a podcast I recorded today with Chris Bleck. We did our NBA preview show. So, hey, it's all there. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Our NBA preview show is up there right now. Download it. Check it out. Our thoughts about the Bulls, the Western Conference, and the Eastern Conference right here on the Under the Hood podcast. Glad that you're with us. Speaking of the NBA, Matt Moore, who works for the Action Network. If you're into gambling, if you're into point spreads, especially when it comes to the NBA, Matt Moore has you covered. Now, Matt Moore was with me and Brendan Haywood on my NBA radio show on SiriusXM NBA Radio. And he brought some interesting things about the NBA as far as point spreads are concerned, about how we can look at this season, and also some thoughts about Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. That Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be a special player without question. And so we talked to Matt Moore. And we asked him to tell us a little bit about his work over at the Action Network and what we could see if we go there.
Yeah, we got a lot of great stuff going on there. You can check it out at actionnetwork.com. Rob Perez, a.k.a. Worldwide Wob, has joined us. He's going to be doing some great NBA coverage this year. I've got pieces up on – I went to Milwaukee last week and checked them out. Saw some really impressive things about what Mike Budenholzer is doing there. And, man, does Giannis look incredible. A lot of great stuff. Make sure to check it out at actionnetwork.com and download our Action Network app.
So, Brendan, in the piece that Matt wrote for the Action Network, you Matt, believe that Giannis Antetokounmpo is not just an MVP candidate, but a legit MVP candidate. What makes him so special in your eyes?
Yeah, I was shocked because I thought that he'd probably reached his physical peak. I know he was young, but it was just that he was so impressive physically. But, man, he just looks so much bigger and faster and stronger. And that's the same thing that John Henson told me, and he's been around him for his entire career. He's more impressive physically. But beyond that is the fact that, you know, he's going to have more spacing this year than he's ever had. That was a problem last year. You went back and watched it. Guys were clogged up in the lane. Mike Budenholzer is going to run a lot of five out, and he's going to have a lot more room to operate, driving to the rim, getting those opportunities. But also, I think his assists are going to go way up. They're just going to have a lot more opportunities with Brook Lopez and Ersan Ilyasova to find those guys. Budenholzer and his teammates have talked about how Giannis' passing has taken a step forward. And they say that he's shooting with more confidence. I don't know if that's going to translate to a better percentage, but just the threat, I think, of him being able to take those threes and being confident in it is going to help shape the defense. I just think he's in for a monster year. I think he's going to be great defensively. I think he's going to be great offensively. To me, he's my pick right now for MVP.
Oh, your pick for MVP over Kevin Durant, over LeBron James with these Lakers. You have Giannis as the favorite right now for MVP.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I'm just – there's so many things I don't know with the Lakers. You know, LeBron's obviously LeBron, but I just don't know what the Lakers are going to look like. There's obviously voter fatigue, which probably isn't fair to LeBron for how many times that he's been in these conversations. I think Harden is probably going to make another strong push given how much of a role he plays with Houston. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. And I do think that the Warriors are one that's kind of getting overlooked. We did a whole fantasy draft on the MVP odds at Action Network, and I wound up taking Steph because I still think that there are times when Steph is the most impactful player on the floor for Golden State. And I think that could wind up impacting things. I think Golden State could have an absolutely monster year again in terms of win total. And they, you know, they wind up winning 65 plus games again. If they really put the pedal down, which they haven't in a few years, that could wind up, I think, swinging things. But for me, I think with where Giannis is going to get the Bucks, with them being kind of a surprise team in the East, I think that factor weighs with the voters. I like his chances a lot.
And you also said something else that I liked hearing. You said that he's willing to take those jumpers more. Now, there's willing to take them, and then there's making them. Is he making them, though? I know the first step is being willing to take those shots, but in training camp and practice, are his teammates seeing him make more shots?
A couple of them did mention, they were like, yeah, it looks better. His shooting is improved. Chris Middleton was the one that really singled out the fact that he's shooting with a lot more confidence, and that's going to open things up. And if he shoots with more confidence, that's probably going to, you know, improve his shooting percentage. Like, everybody knows, like, the more confident you are, the better your percentage is going to be. I think a lot of it will depend on how that early season starts. If he gets into a good rhythm, then I think that it could wind up helping him throughout the year and maybe boost him up. I think it's going to be peaks and valleys. I think he's going to have some months where he's knocking him down and he's shooting, you know, 34, 36%. I think there are going to be months where he's shooting much worse from deep. But I think a lot of it is going to depend also on the kind of looks that he gets, because I think Eric Bledsoe is going to have a lot more opportunity to create in this offense. And if that happens, Giannis could get a few more catch and shoot. And the Bucks are very bullish, both from a front office perspective and down to the coaching staff, on what Giannis can do with clean looks off of the catch if he settles in and is willing to take those shots and doesn't dribble into another shot and wait for the defense to catch up. They're very confident he can be a knockdown shooter if he gets those spot-up opportunities. He's not going to get a lot of them because of how much teams have to pay attention to him, but I think that will probably help his percentage a little bit too.
So, Brennan, you and I were talking about the Sixers yesterday, and you said that based on the lack of shooting ability, especially from some of the key players, you just don't see the Sixers as a team that could win the East or be close to that this season, right?
Right.
Okay, so, Matt, so when I look at your over-unders, you have the Sixers at 54.5. You have them at 54.5. Do you, based on what Brennan is saying, the lack of shooting, especially from the guard spot, do you still believe the Sixers can win 54 or more games this season?
Well, that's the under on that. That's the over-under from Vegas on them. That's where they wind up being at in terms of the predictions from Vegas. I'm with Brennan on the under. I've got them closer to 50. Mm-hmm. I think last year people really bought into that 16-game winning streak that they used to close out the season. But so much of that was Marco Bellinelli and Ersan Ilyasova were just unconscious. You know, Embiid was out, and that team got on a roll versus a bunch of weak competition, and I'm just not certain that they're going to be able to replicate that. I think there'll be growing pains with Markelle Fultz going back into the starting lineup. I think that the young guys will improve. Embiid's going to be better and probably play more. Simmons is going to be better, even if his shot isn't necessarily improved. I think that they'll be better as a team. And there'll be ways, I think, in which they're going to be maybe better built for the playoffs than they were last year when they really got exposed by Boston. But I'm with Brennan. I think that there's a good chance that they're just going to be kind of limited in what they're able to do. You look at their knockdown shooters. They've got, you know, six. They've got Redick. Covington is reliable, but after that, it gets really sketchy. And I think teams are going to figure out more ways to effectively bring help on Simmons and Embiid. And as there gets to be more of a scouting report on those guys, I think they can struggle a little bit. I think they're going to be good. I think they'll be right around 50 wins, but I don't see them hitting the over on 54.5.
Matt, what are some of the sharps looking at as far as a team that they're keying in on that could have a Pacers resurgence? Have you seen money go toward a team where, because it's kind of like in the NFL, people are looking for the next Rams, right? Because the Rams came out of nowhere in the NFL. And in the NBA, we saw the Pacers get to a certain level. Well, is there certain money going toward a team that could upset in the East or West?
There's been some interesting movements. One of the ones I thought was interesting was Denver actually got a pretty high line at 47.5, and there's been indications that they're getting a lot of the over, that there's a belief that they could wind up hitting 50 or better. And that makes a lot of sense.
I told you, Jay Hood.
Let the man talk.
It makes a lot of sense when you look at what they did last year, right? Like, they almost made the playoffs for one game out. I think it was 44 or 45 wins, and that was with Paul Millsap missing 44 games. Like, they just missed Millsap so much of the year, and a lot of those games that were close, like, they lost to the Sixers without Embiid in a close game at the end. Some of those close losses to bad teams probably get flipped if Millsap is there as kind of a baseline defensively, just to give them a few extra possessions where they're able to turn it. So Denver's one. The surprising one to me has been the Chicago Bulls. Now, the expectations are really low. Okay, yeah. They're over-under is 29.5. It opened at 27.5. It's all the way up to 30. because there's been so much action on the Bulls over. And that's not public. Like, that's sharp money moving that, which has been really surprising. And I've yet to figure out exactly what the thought process there. But there is a line of thought that says that the Bulls, because of their offensive firepower, could wind up having a better year than expected. Now, I don't buy it. I'm way in on the under. I can't see any scenario. But that's one. The Spurs were another one that was getting a lot of over money when they were at like 44.5. They're not a surprise team, obviously, but it was really surprising that they were so low. But now with the injuries, it's DeJounte Murray. Lonnie Walker IV has an injury. He's also banged up. Lost Tony Parker. Lost Monte Ginobili. We don't really know what to expect out of San Antonio, and I think that's why they're going to be really interesting to kind of keep track of this year.
What are the numbers saying, Matt, as far as the Eastern Conference is concerned? Brandon, you said that you believe that Toronto very well could win the East or be at the top in the East, right? Because we were talking about Boston or Toronto, but you felt good about Toronto this season, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're second favorite. They got 11-4 over Westgate, and they're just behind the Celtics. But they are still plus money, which is an indicator of how good teams, the numbers tend to think that the Raptors are going to be. My question with Toronto is all about chemistry. Like, basketball-wise, this stuff makes sense. Kawhi is better than DeMar at just about everything. He's a better close shot maker. He's a better passer. He's a way better defender. He's better driving. He's stronger. He's more athletic. Like, there's just no area where I can point to it and say DeMar is better at getting buckets or better at any sort of thing in basketball, really, than Kawhi. As good as DeMar is, Kawhi's just better. So that makes a lot of sense. I think Danny Green helps them with their wing rotation. But there's a lot of chemistry stuff. Like, we just don't know what Kawhi is going to give in a situation where he didn't want to be traded there by all accounts, and he was. He's shown up. He's doing his job. He's ready to play. We just don't know how that's going to work. And then there's Kyle Lowry, who saw his best friend get traded. And Kyle's always been known as a kind of a difficult guy. How is he going to react? How is he going to perform, especially as he gets older? And we saw a little bit of slippage last year. He had a really strong finish to the season. I think there's some slippage there. How is he going to react to this whole situation with Kawhi when he's not playing next to a guy who's his best friend, where there was this kind of drastic move by the front office that came out of nowhere? Is the chemistry going to be the same with the bench? Jakob Poeltl, as much as that's like a nobody name, was really good for them last year and helped that bench unit be the best bench unit in the league. He's gone. They've got better depth because they had Danny Green, but maybe their front court is a little bit more shaky. There's all these things. I just don't know with Toronto. On a basketball sense, I think they could be great. I think them being second in the East in odds makes sense because they've got a proven track record. But with new coaching and everything else, they're a stay away from me just because I can't get behind all the instability there and not knowing how it's going to work out.
All right, lastly, Brandon and I were talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. And Brandon, we had our topic and our poll question about the Lakers and asking, in the next 4 years, do you foresee the Lakers winning the NBA championship with LeBron on it? And you said you probably more than likely not, right? Because even though LeBron's great, you just don't know what the rest of the roster is going to look like for the next 4 years, right?
Yeah, I just, like I said, I think right now teams like Houston and Golden State are too strong. There's a lot of question marks on the roster as far as some of the young guys and how the talent will blend. And then there's a question of whether LeBron James will be able to get a star to come play with him, because some of the stars that are out there that are free agents, some of the rumors have been that some of those guys don't want to go there. Guys like Kawhi, guys like Jimmy Butler. So now you have to think, okay, what star wants to come play with LeBron? So right now I have no as far as LeBron James winning a championship in L.A.
Makes sense. And so Vegas has the Lakers at 48.5. You have it, right, Matt? So what is what are your thoughts on 48.5? You don't seem very confident in that number.
It's a total stay away, and here's why. Because it opened at like 46.5, and the public money bet it up because everybody, like, there's just so many Lakers fans. You look at that number, and basketball-wise, I look at this team and I say, what are they going to do great? You know, what are they going to be really great at? The best bet is defense, because they were so good defensively last year. They were top 10 for a long time until Lonzo got hurt and Ingram got hurt, and then they slid and they finished, middle of the pack, I think 12th in that range. So there's a capacity that they could be a really great defensive team because they've got Rajon Rondo, obviously adding LeBron, all of these guys, except like Rondo doesn't give full effort in the regular season. That's just not what he does, because he's a veteran and he went through all those Celtics runs and he learned to pace himself the way all great vets do. And so he's never going to go super hard on defense in the regular season. Lance Stephenson's actually been really bad defensively the last couple of years. I don't trust JaVale McGee as a rim protector. So now you're relying on young guys. And it's hard for me to buy into Lonzo Ball being this transformational defensive player when that was not at all his identity coming out of college, and it was always kind of surprising. I think teams attack him less one-on-one this year and just kind of play their offense versus they try to, I think, kind of go after him because of his dad last year. I think defensively they take a step back. Offensively, I don't know where their spacing is. So the under there looks good, except for this. I look back, and LeBron James, since making the playoffs first in 2006, he's won under 50 games or at a 50-win pace in the lockout season one time. One time in all of this time, since 2006, he has not won 50 games once. And so it comes down to, you know, do you look at the overall team structure and say that doesn't look like a very good Western Conference team, or do you look at LeBron and go, I can't go against them? And so I wind up calling it a stay away because I don't want to bet against LeBron, but I don't want to bet on the Lakers.
So the thoughts there from Matt Moore, as he was on our SiriusXM NBA radio show. He's from the Action Network. You can find him there. Some great information, especially if you're looking at the NBA from a Vegas standpoint. And heavy money coming in on the Bulls. How about that?
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
We thank you for being part of the program here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000. And the ESPN app, our thanks to Jeff Fox, Jesse Rogers, Moon Mullen, Matt Moore for being with us. Show produced by Sean Davis on the other side of the glass. All right, Saturday, Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000. I will be with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah at 11 a.m. Saturday. We'll be breaking down some college football for you before Notre Dame's game, 11 to 12:30 on Saturday. I'll talk to you then. If not, we'll do it next week right here.
I go work like a doctor when I rock. Mike, you got to like
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.